Hey, what's up?
Hey everyone, my name is Paris Blom. Thanks for
Good
having me.
morning. Yeah, no worries, man.
So, where are you based? You're in Netherlands?
The Netherlands, yeah, it's raining and it's dark outside. It's evening for me.
Yeah, I'm here in Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'd love for you to start. Like, maybe you can help guide questions or
Yeah,
anything I could.
I'll definitely will. Let's first start because probably most people who will see your name will think about your artist career. Can you tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, so as many of you may know, my name is Paris Blom. I've been a DJ for the past 15 years of my life professionally. 10, I've toured all over the world, played all the biggest festivals, except I still haven't played the Netherlands, which is ironic, right? Because I was known for a progressive house, and
Yeah. You were
yeah, I
signed with
started
Revealed, right?
was signed with Revealed. Been in the music industry for quite a while. Like I said, toured all over the world, toured, played EDC, played Electric Zoo, Tomorrow World, all the biggest festivals. And then I kind of stopped wanting to write progressive house music, so I started working in the behind the scenes, and I started helping develop artists. And so I actually manage Cloud, which is a techno robot act out here in America. So I've been on the management side recently, and just really been all anything music related. I've been putting my hand in, whether that's in my own personal music,
Nice.
managing artists, or now creating a generative music NFT platform called SoundMint.
Nice. When did you decide to make that shift? Because that's not really clear to me.
Yeah, so I never really went public with going and doing more management stuff. For me, it's the progressive house was like a bubble that I feel like once you're in there, you couldn't get out. And maybe Hardwell felt the same way. I mean, that's kind of what I assumed. Like he went and he's doing whatever he does. But it's hard for a progressive house artist or any artist that's like known for a sound to move out of that sound without getting, their fans like saying things like, "Oh, you shouldn't be doing that." And to me, that was a little frustrating as an artist. And so I wanted to help develop other artists while also working on my own art in different ways. So I didn't really make it public because I just wanted to go and work. I work closely with my best friend Andre Benz. He is the founder of Trap Nation, and he also manages Cloud alongside me. And yeah, it's
Nice.
just being able to do different stuff in music and not be stuck in one particular sound. And that's what
Yeah.
Paris Bohm was like. Paris Bohm was a sound, and it was very for after doing that for like 8 years, for me it was like, all right, I want to do something different.
Yeah. And you never tried to rebrand Paris Blom.
I tried to rebrand it, but the thing is I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. I like melodic progressive house. I really like Eric Prydz. I really like Cassian. I really like that kind of stuff. And eventually, I think you'll hear me releasing more music along that style. I do have like two records. My more recent ones is Waiting, and yeah, that song was more of in that line. But I don't know. It's just like I don't know if you make music or if you've been in the music like I don't know your background in that, but it's
I've been releasing on Revealed as well. I've been at the start of Revealed to work together with Hardwell as well. But I decided to quit 8 years ago. Yeah, about 8 years ago. At the height of like I was in the height of that bubble of the progressive bubble. That's when I decided to quit.
yeah, so I was like I like just got in right as like the bubble was like becoming huge. And while I do think it was an amazing experience, I'm so happy that it happened and that I was able to travel the world and do the music that like I wanted to at the time, is that as I was evolving as an artist, my fan base wasn't they wanted what they wanted, and to me that was really difficult
It's the Progressive House Army.
as an artist to feel that way, right? And you said your platform is a lot about mental health and whatnot. I think if there's anyone out there listening that's a fan, like they should like really think about the artists and like what they want to do, and not like, obviously you have like an attachment to, you know, you want your artists to be a certain way, but you can't control that. You know, the artist is going to do what they want. And I think it's really important to, I mean, in pop music, you never see like them making one style. It's always like they have like a R&B record, then they're going into like house, and then they're doing, you know, it's always the same vocal style, but they're able to try all these different genres, and that's what's really, really fun.
True. But it's hard to rebrand the whole thing, you know, like Chesto, for example, is one of the guys who did it successfully. Knowing he came from trance and now goes into, well, was into EDM, now into whatever he is, like house, pop four, top 40, whatever it is. But it's all successful. So he managed to do a good job in that. But it's hard. It's hard to rebrand. Yeah.
And the rebranding is like a whole nother, like you have to rebrand. Like, I don't know. It's so many moving parts as an artist. Like you want to keep your fans, but then you want to create something new. So like, I totally understand both sides.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Listen, let's dive into the more recent stuff, which is the NFTs, the Sound Mint that you have been talking about, because last year was a crazy year for NFTs. I've been diving into that space as well. That was the first time I got in contact with the whole technology and with, well, at first, just the JPEGs that got sold for ridiculous prices, but eventually started to dig deeper and find much more than that. Eventually also found you a couple of weeks ago, a few months maybe. And that's why I wanted to get you into the podcast, because there's not a lot of people in the music industry that are diving into this space and that know what this space is about. To me, NFT technology brings a lot of opportunities for the music industry, and I believe that you are one of the first who are actually doing it, right? I'm also 100% sure that there will be a lot more in the upcoming months, but I think that's a good sign, you know, like it will be a healthy competition in there. Can you tell me first why you think NFTs are so big for the music industry?
So music NFTs, as they stand right now, aren't really pushing any sort of boundaries. And I say that lightly. Obviously, I'm not knowledgeable of all the music NFTs that are being out there. But the main platforms right now are basically, you know, taking like the Web 2, and if people out there, if you don't know what Web 2, that's like Spotify, Apple, like that's like what the internet we know, and then taking that model into Web 3, and Web 3 is crypto, and trying to use that Web 2 model in Web 3, and it just doesn't make sense.
Could you give an example of that?
Yeah, to a lot of people, because so to give you an example, people will take a song that is already on Spotify, and then they'll mint it and then sell that for like $10,000, $15,000 to a collector. Now the collector gets the NFT, but the song still lives on Spotify and anyone can go listen to it. And to me, that model is just a little odd, because unless you're a super, super fan and you want to say like, I own that NFT for that song, I understand that, but there's just not that many people who are doing that. Right. Mm-hmm. So we want to change the model towards creating something completely new for collectors that didn't exist elsewhere in the Web 2 world. And the way we're doing that is we're doing generative music or audiovisual art, just like the Bored Apes, where it's generated. You have all these different assets that combine into a unique piece.
Yeah. Maybe
we have that with music.
Yeah. Maybe that's something you should elaborate, because the whole generative part, I can imagine if someone is completely new within this in this space, generative is weird to them.
No, like, exactly. It's very simple to explain. So for anyone out there who knows about the Bored Ape, because they're basically mainstream, those apes aren't actually drawn as one. They're drawn as different assets. So the artist drew like 25 different eyes, 25 different hats, or whatever number, you know, like 10 different background colors, 30 different skin colors, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all separate assets. Now you throw it through an algorithm and the computer combines all those separate assets. So you'll get like that mad eyes with the silly grin with the pink hat. And then now you have a combination, not because the artist drew that specific combination, but the individual assets that the computer combined to create that image. And so it's uniquely yours as a collector. You know that that's yours because no one else can have that, you know, mad eyes, silly grin, pink hat. Like no one else could have that because the way the algorithm works. So we applied that same formula and that same focus on music. So the artist provides us like 10 different bass lines, 10 different drums, 15 vocals, 5 percussives, you know, 30 leads, whatever. The number doesn't matter. But that they're giving you a certain amount of assets, like these leads and drums, et cetera. And as long as they're all in the same key and BPM, they're all interchangeable. So you can have like this 4 on the floor kick with this groovy bass line and this vocal that's super airy and this lead that is harmonic, that works harmonically with the bass line because they would have to write it that way. But they're all interchangeable. So you'll get like, instead of the 4 and 4 bass, now that you could get like the broken beat drum loop with the like trancy bass line. I'm giving you like the most, like just so people can understand, but the artist is going to have full control about of all these different stems. And then the computer takes those stems and combines a unique combination. So for me, like my favorite artist is Radiohead. And I would love, like if Radiohead were to come on SoundMint and I was able to collect a unique minute long Radiohead song that's only mine because I have this drum loop, this bass line, this Tom York vocal, like I would be super stoked. And that's why I created this. And I did want to stem from like the conversation we had earlier about like the artistical freedom of being, you know, this all stemmed from me like being in that bubble and wanting to create, but like I said, I was stuck in this like artistic rut because like I was in that progressive house world and I couldn't do anything else. And like this is like such a cool answer where even if a progressive house artist came or some artist that was in their bubble, they could create so many different assets that is uniquely them as an artist, and it would create all these different combinations based off of what the artist created.
And art, the things that are being created, so the NFTs eventually, is it a full song or is it just a loop?
So right now it's just a loop, a 30-second. The first one was, so Cloud was the first artist because we manage him, and it was just easy for us to not get into politics with other artists yet. Proof of concept worked. We sold 5,000 NFTs and 6 hours. Nice. They're all generative. Every single one is unique to the collector. And sorry, I got sidetracked there. what was the question?
Is it like just a sample or like a loop, or is it also a full song?
Sorry. So this one was specifically a 30-second loop, but it could be completely repeated. And but the next act, which is Kai and Cruz, they're a minute long and they're so cool. They made like arrangements and they sound like mini songs. They're only a minute long. But now that I've seen how that worked, I believe that like we're going to get to a point where they're all full songs. And this is the beauty of this project is Cloud was the first act, like the proof of concept, right? And you know, we helped facilitate that. And then every artist that comes on board is going to continue pushing those limits and those boundaries and trying new things that like I didn't think about, or this next artist didn't think about, or the next artist didn't think about. And that's where I think the beauty is coming, like is going to come into fruition, is we're going to see so many artists pushing the boundaries of what's capable. And to add on top of that, we just brought on a new CTO, Mike Gao, who he helped develop a lot of like native instrument stuff, and he builds some VSTs, and he's talking about all these different things that we can apply after the fact. So like maybe in the future, we'll be able to take a Cloud stem and then remix it with a San Holo stem or a Kai and Cruz, because that stem would be able to be manipulated post-processing to like match the key and BPM of another collection. And then we could combine different stems and like create new NFTs based off of the NFTs that are out there. And it's like a limitless collectible from your favorite artist. I mean, we're definitely thinking of some crazy stuff over here.
Yeah, you mentioned the word collectible a few times now. Like, what's the idea behind that? Because I don't think a lot of people see music necessarily as a collectible.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not; these aren't songs. These aren't like songs that you put on Spotify, or I mean, maybe we'll get to a point where they are songs where you could or you would put it on your SoundCloud or Spotify so you can listen to it and show your friends. I definitely don't see that not happening. What I'm saying is that it's a collectible because these are unique pieces from your favorite artist that like pertains to you, and whether you share it or not, it's you're able to collect many of these, and then we're creating utility after the fact. So like to give you an example, we're partnering with Metaverse Applications where this music NFT is actually, so NFTs, for anyone out there who's very new to NFTs, NFTs can act, they are a token. It's a token. It's a non-fungible token. So this token is really the actual worth of the NFT. It's not so much the art and it's not so much the music. That's what's bolstering up you to get this token. But the token, the line of code is really what you're buying, because that token is then able to be give you access to so many different things in Web3. So yeah, the art and the music is amazing, but that token follows it everywhere it goes. So if you join like this Metaverse application that Cloud creates his world in, and it shows that you own that NFT, it sees you own this specific token that gives you access to stuff that Cloud only, that will only give to you since you hold that token. And there's more things like exclusive merch access or exclusive Discord channels, or there's so many things that are going to come up in the future. Yeah. Like we're at the very bare minimum of like what we can do with this token.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what makes it so exciting. You know, like almost every week there's at least one thing or two things that come on my, on my timeline or whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's sick. You know, like how does someone come up with that? Like the speed in which this technology evolves is so quick.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is we're developing before the ideas are being created. Vice versa. We're coming up with the ideas before it's developed. That's what I meant. Coming up with these ideas before it's being developed, and then we're developing them because we've created the idea. And like, so with the Cloud NFT, we're doing all these things that no one has done before and we can't disclose yet, but we're coming with all these ideas. And then we're getting the developers to create them because it's possible. And right now you're seeing a huge movement in the NFT space where, you know, like us, like raising millions of dollars off of sales with no real like software yet. You know, we're crowdfunding the idea of the future. And obviously there's some bad seeds out there who are like running away with the money and doing nothing. But us in the past, so the sale was 1 day and 1 month and 1 day ago, and we've already hired 10 people. We're literally building the website to become a full platform where people can come and build their own music NFTs. We have a huge timeline and roadmap of like what we're trying to accomplish. Yeah. I'm really, really excited that, you know, we have this community that's supporting us, and it's just a crazy time.
I can imagine. It's a roller coaster. what would be your advice to someone, to an artist who just got into this industry or not even knows what the hell this is? You know, like what's an easy way to learn more about NFTs or to experience the power of it?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we helped Cloud with their with his first NFT back in April. But back then, like, we didn't even know what NFTs were. Like, we did it with crypto.com and we saw an opportunity because everyone was doing NFTs. But like, we as the managers were like, what the heck is an NFT? Like, what are we doing? Like, I didn't even understand. So that's not a great timeline to say, like, we started in April. Realistically, like, I didn't personally understand how Bored Ape worked until September. So that was 5 months ago. And once I understood how the Bored Apes generative concept work, like the light bulb went off and I was like, that needs to be applied to music. So anyone out there listening, 5 months ago I knew nothing, and 5 months later I'm the CEO of a NFT platform. You know, so you can learn pretty quick. It's just a matter of taking the risk and finding information out and being really, you know, enveloped in the learning process. But for any artist out there who's like not going to become create an NFT platform and just wants to get involved, the best bet would, like, I always recommend this, at least for the short term, definitely continue building up your Web2 presence. Like, you still want to be on Spotify, you still want to be on Instagram, you still want to be building your fan base. Yeah. Because Web3 is a different fan base. It's not, they're not they're not mingling yet. You have two, you have a few people who are in between, but really it's like you have this great divide between who's on what.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to like just leave their fans behind. What you do is you create new fans within the Web3 space. And the way you do that is, at the very least, you could release an NFT for free. You could do that on OpenSea. You can mint your own NFTs through like Catalog, which is another music NFT platform. Or Audius is a great example. Audius, it doesn't have to be an NFT. It's just a Web3 SoundCloud. So you could take songs that are already on your SoundCloud and Spotify and just put it on Audius. Then that way, people who are already in the space starting to see your name. So that if you gave away a free NFT, and the reason why I'm saying giving away a free NFT is you want someone who gets your art to succeed in some way by collecting it. And that gives them trust in you that you're here for the long term. It's going to be, it's kind of difficult right now to come into the space and just sell an NFT for like $10,000 and expect someone to buy it, right? Like, unless you're a massive artist, that there is that demand. But for an artist who doesn't have a huge demand, you just got to create trust in the community that's there, if that makes sense. And that's my best advice.
I think, thank you for that. Like, I think what most people don't realize about Web 2.0, which is completely different from the music world that we've lived in the past few years, is that this Web 3.0 environment is much more focused on transparency, honesty. The whole fake it till you make it thing is from Web 2.0. You know, I think the music industry was full of people who were there for everything but the music. And in Web 3.0, it just feels different. You know, it's much more long term. It's much more a healthy environment, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely going to have some people, like I said, some people do come here like trying to like make a quick dollar. That's what, you know, there's obviously a lot of money in the right corners of the NFT space. But if you do actually care about Web3 and you care about like the future of the art, I do, you know, implore your audience and your listeners to, you know, just get involved and get into the Discord communities and get your name out like to these people who are looking for that next artist to support. I mean, that's really what it is. It's like supporting your favorite artists. And we're going to have artists that are, you know, Cloud's not the most massive artist, but this collection changed his life, you know, and he's going to be able to create freely for a long time because of the success of the sale. And the people who hold these NFTs, they find like a real happiness, like knowing that they've given that to an artist while also possibly having their NFT rise in value and being able to create some financial freedom for themselves, you know? So it's a crazy win-win situation. If both people win, like they truly do, both people win. I mean, the initial Bored Ape sale, I think it didn't even mint out. But they still made like a decent amount of money, right? But now everyone who held a Bored Ape since then, like, has made potential $500,000, you know? And so not only did the Bored Ape team win, but all the people who bought them won as well. And that's kind of like what we're hoping with the Web3 spaces. If you support an artist early on, they're winning because they need financial freedom to continue creating art. But then so do you, because you supported this artist and then it rose in value. And, you know, there is hopefully that continues to happen. I mean, there are some that, you know, they don't rise in value. So I always do advise, you know, buy art that you truly love. Don't buy it like it's too speculative, like where you think it's going to make you $1 million. Just like buy art you love and support your favorite artists. And I think at some point it's going to come back to you.
Yeah. Beautiful way to end, man. I want to thank you for your time, because I know it's been hectic around you in your schedule. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for giving the people a better understanding of that the NFT space and of your company, SoundMint. And best of luck in the future, man. I'm curious to see what's coming up.
Yeah, thank you so much. I do appreciate the time. And, you know, I'm just going to be completely transparent. I'm still learning. Like, everyone out there, like,
everyone,
if you're listening to this in, like, a year from now and I'm saying, like, the wrong information, it's because I'm still learning. You know, like, that's just the truth of it. Just trying my best as, like, an artist who's become the CEO of a platform. Like, it's, like, crazy. So really, if anyone out there wants to chat, you know, you can always come on our Discord or DM me on Twitter, and, you know, try my best to get back to you as soon as possible. And thanks for having me. I do appreciate it. And if you haven't checked out the collection, on OpenSea, it's We Are Cloud with a K.
Okay, yeah, I can put it in the show notes for you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, it's just go and listen to, you know, 10 of them, and you'll start to hear how they're different, and you'll see why they're different, because the visuals are attached to different musical attributes. And it's I'm really excited not only for that project, but for all the artists that come on board.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what comes up next and what the how the company evolves over time.
Yeah, I mean, so I can announce this. We have Kyan Cruz and Sum Hoodlum next, and then we have San Holo and as the third artist, and we're already talking to a lot of different artists to come on board. And then from there, we're going to create a platform where any music artist out there can come on board and create their own music NFTs.
And do you have like a timeline for that? Like, when you expect to have that platform?
Hoping midsummer, maybe late summer. Quick. Yeah, I mean, we're moving fast. We have to develop the whole platform, but and then the social aspect. So instead of like relying on Twitter all the time to message people, you can actually message your favorite artist through there, and it's a whole other thing.
Sick. I'm excited for this year, man. Looking forward. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's stay in touch. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.